Oh, looks like we're going to do this again. All right, I will get it on my own.
All sports, all the time.
All right, we're rolling out the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I, of course, am the Big Jack, and well, you know, Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, that, of course, means Schomburg Stu is here.
In the house.
So, of course, if you'd like to talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something new popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is... come on, you know this by now. It's at Sports Time Radio. Sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but you can hunt me down at Burke Time and feel free to leave me, well, anything clean you want to say to Stu. Let's stay away from the nasty stuff, at least for now, okay? So there we go.
Oh,
Seth. Oh, you know, now I heard that, you know, your NCAA bracket for, you know, the men's tournament had struggled, but I also heard that you picked the NIT, CBI, and CIT tournaments 100% correct. Is that right?
Well, almost. I predicted DePaul would be in the finals in the best of three game series. And they did it. They won the second game in OT, forcing a third and final, the final game for that all-important championship.
Yes, which I don't even remember which tournament they're in. Are they in the CIT?
I believe that's the one, yes.
Yeah. You know, it's I can't figure out how many, you know, how many tournaments do they have. I didn't realize they had this many teams.
Yeah, they found some more that will compete, and I like the name, CIT, College Invitational Tournament. It sounds quite
right.
Prestigious.
What's the CBI? I don't even know. What's the CBI one stand for? Do you know?
No idea.
Let me see if I can.
How many tournaments going on? Three more? Three besides the NIT, the NCAA, and a couple other ones.
Maybe it'll come up this way for me. College Basketball Invitational is the CBI tournament. You know, and of course we not only have the men, the actual NCAA Final Four. I think the women's Final Four is tonight. And then we've got, yeah, the other tournaments going on. I guess if you're a fan of college basketball, you're okay.
This is a big weekend for you.
Yeah. You know, you can watch pretty much good teams, bad teams. I guess everybody goes to the tournament. I don't know how else to put it. So, you know, you're going to get in regardless.
And who's the current favorite now in the NCAA tournament?
You know, it seems, from what I've heard, it seems like everybody's leaning a little bit towards Michigan State, but, you know, a lot depends on just, you know, whatever guy you're listening to at that current time, because, you know, they change picks like they change hats, and, you know, if they wouldn't have had to put these things down on paper, you wouldn't know. You would think that they got the Final Four correct.
Certainly, I don't think too many people predicted these four teams to be in the finals.
Yeah, believe it or not, I actually have two of these. I managed to get two of these teams correct. I don't know how that happened. Of course, the problem I had is I had Duke winning the whole thing, and they're no longer in the tournament. So that's going to hurt me.
So which teams did you have?
I actually had Auburn, and I had Virginia.
Oh. And they're competing. in one of the semifinals, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I had Duke and Virginia in the final with Duke winning. And I'm trying to remember who the heck I had in the other one. I think I might have been Michigan. I think I went that route. And obviously they didn't come through.
The current Texas Tech coach, isn't he the one that was supposed to sign with another team and change his mind after 2 weeks, or is that somebody else I'm thinking about?
Oh boy, it's possible. I'm never sure with these guys. They jump around so much. I can't keep them straight. But yeah, I think he ended up getting a big extension from Texas Tech. So
yeah,
I think
he probably
decided to stay there.
And how many years is it going to take before Nebraska becomes a champion now?
Oh, well, it shouldn't take long now with Fred Hoiberg running the show. And, you know, and to be fair, he had a lot of success at Iowa State.
He just couldn't
coach in a pool.
No. Maybe he's one of those coaches better suited at the college level than the pros, because he certainly did not do the job as far as I was concerned.
No, and, you know, I mean, we've seen plenty of guys like that. I mean, even a guy who was as good as John Calipari struggled to win in the NBA. But, man, you get him at Kentucky, and, you know, he's king of the one and done. I mean, you can even look at football. I mean, Nick Saban wasn't much of an NFL coach, but
no. He's
the king at Alabama.
I guess some guys are better suited to coaching at the collegiate level than they are in the pros.
Yeah, you know, and I do wonder, you know, obviously I think coaching kids gives you a little more leeway if maybe you're a guy who raises his voice a little, you know, would be the way to kind of look at it there. You know, of course, nowadays you even have to be careful about that. But I, you know, obviously if you're yelling at adults, I think they just kind of tune you out.
I'm sure.
Where, you know, I think kids take it a little more serious, you know, take being, you know, having their voice raised at them a little more seriously.
That was a good point you raised, by the way, about the current society we live in now. Can the college coaches actually yell at their players anymore?
Yeah, well, remember all the flack Tom Izzo got early last week when he yelled at one of his players coming off the court because the guy made a boneheaded play. And, Izzo really gave it to him. And they were very critical of him. Now, obviously, you know, Izzo is one of the, you know, going to go down as one of the best coaches in college basketball history. And it's just, you know, we're so PC now that it's difficult to do that, even though I didn't find anything wrong with it. I mean, sometimes you have to make a statement like that to get your point across to a player, you know, and, you know, obviously he didn't physically abuse him or anything. He didn't touch him. He just pointed at him and yelled at him. I mean, as a kid, I got yelled at and it didn't affect me, but apparently in, you know, today's society, I already know you're not supposed to hit him, but now maybe you can't yell at him either.
Yeah, I think Bobby Knight would have a hard time now, wouldn't he?
Yeah. So I would have a hard time now. You know, I used to coach, you know, youth sports, and I always, you know, I was a yeller. You know, not abusive, but, you know, I always, you know, let the kids know that, you know, you got to get your point across like that sometime. And, yeah, it wouldn't work today. I would be gone.
No. No, it's different. It really is different now.
No. I don't understand a lot of stuff that goes on, so I guess I shouldn't be, I shouldn't be surprised that there were people who were like, oh my God, he yelled at his player. Oh no, what are we going to do? So.
Yeah, times are different now, aren't they?
So, yeah, definitely, it's just kind of, you know, yeah, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, I just don't, you know, I just kind of gave up on it. It was like, okay, here we go. You know, let's just.
I suppose I'll look at some of the games that are coming up this weekend, but I might be inclined to go with MSU, the favorite, if they are indeed the favorite.
So yeah, I think they're the favorite now. I don't know. You know, again, I don't know much about any of these teams, so it's not like I'm gonna be able to say, oh yeah, well this guy's better than this guy, or blah blah blah, or you know, however it works out. But
I couldn't tell you about.
Yeah.
I know that Charles Barkley would be ecstatic if Auburn won, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's always the thing. You know, there's always the the players like that. I know I saw Draymond Green is a Michigan State alum, and he shot video in the locker room after they beat Duke, because he's got a guy on the Golden State Warriors that went to Duke. So that was kind of humorous.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, Duke was involved in a couple of real nail biters splitting those two games. Boy, they both went down to the wire.
Yeah, you know, they played close games, and, you know, it finally, you know, just, you know, caught up to them, you know, any time that happens. And, you know, it was weird because, like, I heard a lot of people talking, you know, well, you know, Zion Williamson's out of the tournament. We don't care what happens now. And it's like, really, you were watching the tournament for one guy?
Yeah, maybe he'll – I hope he does well as a Bull.
Yeah. Yeah, sadly we know that ain't happening. You know, he's either going to the Knicks, who will magically get the number one pick, or somehow out of nowhere the Lakers will end up moving all the way up, even though I don't honestly think they can get to number one. But yeah, it's just like, okay,
yes,
you
New
know,
York,
here we go.
New York winds up
you
with
know.
That pick. If New York winds up with that pick, I'll be very suspicious, even though I guess I'm not sure if they have the worst record in the NBA, or is it Phoenix? I'm not
I know they
sure
not, there are a there are a couple teams with worse records than them. Give me one second, and I can actually see where we are with that. But yeah, they're you know I know Milwaukee. You know Milwaukee won last night. They just clinched the best record for the entire league. Let me see here. The Knicks actually, they currently do have the worst record in the Eastern Conference. But, oh, no, they look at that. They do. God, Phoenix has 18 wins. Have they been beating people lately? What did I miss? Yeah, so New York has the worst record, and then it's Phoenix and Cleveland are the people in the top three. So the Knicks are odds-on favorite. I guess it's a good thing they lost that game to the Bulls the other day.
Yeah, and are the Bulls fourth or fifth right now?
So, you know, obviously, you know, with a couple games left, it looks like they're fifth. So, you know, they would definitely need a move up to, you know, to get kind of that impact player I think they're going to need, and I just don't see that happening.
Is it the fourth selection that has a 12.5% chance? Or I know the first one or two have a 14% chance of winning the lotto, the lottery pick, number one draft choice. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Is that 12.5 for the 14?
So yeah, I can. You know, I can never remember what the odds are for stuff. So. But yeah, I won't, you know, like it will be one of those things where I won't be surprised when the Lakers move up, you know, and I think legitimately they can only get to like five, maybe. I think there's a rule about how far you can go when you're back there now, but yeah, I won't be surprised at all when their ping pong ball comes out and they've got a, you know, they're moving up. So,
And when does it happen? July and August? I'm trying to remember when they have the draft. Or is it after season?
You know,
I
don't remember when they, you know, when they end up doing it. So,
of course, the playoffs seem to last longer than the regular season.
Yeah, you know, well, yeah, you got to realize, you know, the playoffs go till the end of June.
Yep.
So, you know, with the length of the series now and the fact that, you know, they insisted on having the days off, you know, they play till June. Yeah, literally, I mean, by the time, you know, by the time the NBA Finals come around, I don't care who wins. I have zero interest. I mean, it's baseball season, and you're looking ahead to football.
Yeah, I'm sure the networks aren't too happy that either Los Angeles Lakers or the New York Knicks are in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you know, the Lakers thing is killing them because they have LeBron, and you know they always do a lot of their marketing around him commercial wise. So yeah, you know they're pulling their hair out over the fact that he wasn't let's say fortunate enough to get the Lakers into the playoffs.
Yeah, and everybody thought they would make it into the playoffs, and they didn't. They were pretty dismal this season.
Yeah, you know, but yeah, you know, in reality, I mean, he's really only got himself to blame. You know, obviously the injury wasn't his fault, but, you know, when you're trying to trade your whole team for Anthony Davis and news gets out about that, you know, it's, you know, like we talked about, players are different now. That's going to affect those guys. So.
Well, I wonder what he'll be cooking up during the off season to ensure this won't happen again.
He's all set to film that. That's what his
right.
off season is going to.
MJ going to make a cameo in that movie?
You know that I didn't hear, but the story I did hear today is apparently LeBron is having trouble. Excuse me. Oh, no.
Bless you.
He's apparently having trouble.
Thing. He's having trouble getting some players to help him out, huh?
Yeah, basically what they're, you know, a lot of guys are looking at it, they're like, well, he's the star, and they don't want to get dunked on, basically, in the movie by LeBron, you know, for the whole movie. So, yeah, he's having difficulty getting guys to appear.
Yeah, surprising, because it's an easy gig, and I'm sure there's a lot of money involved for the players who appear in that movie.
Yeah, you know, but with the money these kind of guys make, can you really win them over with more money?
I'm hoping that the Looney Tunes players don't age too much between this movie and Space Jam 1.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know much about it. Are they just remaking it, or is this a different setup? I'm clueless with what they're.
Different this time, because if it's Space Jam 2 instead of it doesn't sound like it will be a remake, and I'm sure that movie will be up for many Academy Awards next season.
You know it will be. I mean, he's got to win something.
Yeah, he didn't win anything in basketball. Maybe he'll get some awards for the feature.
Let's see. It looks like it has an IMDb page. So let me see what the if they have a synopsis here of something. Oh, no, it's just LeBron James teams up with Bugs Bunny and the rest of the Looney Tunes for this long-awaited sequel. So that's all we got so far.
It does say a sequel, which means that it will not be a remake of the first one.
Yeah. So, yeah, they do have... Like some of the cast listed, Jarrett Sullinger, who's a former NBA player, is listed. He's actually going to play Charles Barkley. And then I don't know if you remember from the NCAA tournament, and I'm trying to remember what team he was on, but they had a 7'6 guy by the name of Taco Fall. He's going to be in the movie this time as well. He's going to portray Sean Bradley, which will be interesting because I believe he's African American. So
yeah,
but yeah, they're the only two besides LeBron. They're the only two basketball players attached right now. Of course, they only have 7 people listed on the cast. So maybe there'll be more to add as time goes on.
It'll be very interesting to see how well that movie does at the box office. I'm inclined to think that it won't do all that great.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, you know, how it's going to work. I mean, does he have enough fans at this point to pull off, you know, a mainstream movie like that?
I don't think he has quite the same amount of charisma that Michael Jordan had.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering is can he be that guy? And I guess we'll find out here, but I'm not gonna be going. You know, they're not gonna get my money. I don't even think I'll watch it when it comes on, you know, whatever pay channel or Netflix or whatever. So, you know, maybe Dan will take his daughter.
Dan will be happy to take his daughter to see that movie, I'm sure.
Hopefully. You know, so I don't know. They did just do well, so that could be tough to live up to. Of course, I guess it's not due out till 2021, so we got some time yet.
Oh, wow. It's not take that long to – I thought for sure it would be out next year, maybe for Christmas of 2020, but I guess not.
Yeah, it's listed for 2021. I guess, you know, maybe the fact that it's animated, may take, you know, you've got to work the animation in with, you know, the actual people. Maybe that takes a little longer. You'd have to ask your son. I'm sure he knows all about that stuff.
He probably would, but with the animation being computer generated now, it certainly would be an advantage over the previous animated features they did with Jordan.
I don't know. You're gonna camp out to get your tickets and wait in line.
I'll be first in line for that one. That's for sure.
Well, like you did for what was that? Avengers Endgame. You stayed out to make sure you're one of those people getting tickets for it.
Yeah, I've seen very little of those. And did you see that there was a new movie came out today called Shazam, based upon a character that I used to read that comic book, Captain Marvel, was Captain Marvel back in the 40s. So when I first started reading comic books, 47, 48, and it was very, very popular at one time, but it was selling better than Superman. But eventually the owners of Superman had a lawsuit going saying it was too close to the Superman character, and they actually won the lawsuit, and they had to stop publishing Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I remember there was a Saturday morning cartoon. Well, it wasn't a cartoon. I mean, it was actually, it wasn't drawn or anything. It was actually someone who portrayed Shazam, and they did that whole spiel. I looked at the trailer for the movie, and it didn't catch my interest.
No, I got a pretty good review today in the Sun Times, so got a decent. I think it was a 3.5-star review, which isn't bad.
Yeah, it looked a little too. I'm gonna go with campy for me, and normally I like campy, but I like it more in the horror genre than I do in something like this.
Yeah, I will probably not see that one.
So. You know, we'll have to. I'm sure somewhere down the line I'll find somebody who managed to see it and see what they thought and how that kind of works out. But yeah, not up my alley there. Just like I'm not going to be hunting down tickets for the Avenger movie, which I heard are going for. You can actually pay like $5,000 for them if you got them early. I should have got one just to sell it.
Yeah, when does that come out?
It's got to be a week or two now. It's got to, you know, got to be getting close. But I guess it's like 3 hours long.
Yeah, that's, I think they extend these things a little bit too long, and I think a lot of people just don't have the patience to sit through a movie that long.
So yeah, no, they got a yeah. I don't know. I did see there's a Ted Williams documentary on Netflix that I'm gonna have to check out. Hopefully over the weekend I'll get a chance and get a look at that. I'm interested to see what they have going on with him. So.
One of the great hitters in the history of baseball.
Yeah, you know, something that, you know, I'm a little more interested to see what they would have to say about Ted Williams than I would be about, whatever superhero movie happens to be out at this point in time. So
I think he had a nickname, and I believe I remember the name of his nickname, but do you remember his nickname? What the sports
Ted Williams
called him?
Wasn't he Teddy Ballgame?
No, I think they called him the Splendid Splinter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know why that name just came to me. Am I right?
I believe so. I know. Yeah, I've heard him called that. I don't know. Maybe he had multiple. You know, you never know. Some of these guys end up with, you know, more than one nickname. But yeah, I believe you're correct. I have heard him call that before. So
what's amazing about him and what's really impressive is I believe he was out of baseball for 3 or 4 years during the Korean War, and he came back, and I think his first year back he hit around 380.
So Ted did have multiple nicknames. They had him listed here. You are correct. He was the Splendid Splinter. He was also called Thumper. I actually did remember he was Teddy Ballgame, and then he was also called the Kid. So he racked up the nicknames.
Yeah, he had quite a few of them.
He missed 3 years for military service, came back and hit 342 in 1946.
All right, but he also, didn't he take time out during the Korean War also?
No, they only have him missing 43, 44, and 45 on his player card. And they just say military service. I don't remember which war that was. I was still 20-some-odd years away from being born.
Right.
But, yeah, he came back and won the MVP. So
He had phenomenal eyesight. I think he had, 2015 vision? Just incredible, incredible eyesight.
Yeah, well, here's a stat you'll never see. Now, he ended up playing in 19 seasons. He struck out 709 times. He walked 2,021. So he had almost three times the walks than he did strikeouts. We'll never see that again.
Not even remotely close to ever seeing that kind of a stat anymore in today's baseball game, that's for sure.
So, yeah, I mean, there's very few guys who manage to, break even in that category, let alone get more walks than strikeouts. But yeah, that's amazing. He has a couple years here where he walked 162 times.
And he always said, by the way, and we've talked about this before, and it reminds me when you mentioned that stat, he always said that he would concede something to the pitcher when there was two strikes on him, and he would choke up a little bit in the bat and make sure the ball was put in play. What player does that now?
There are a couple here and there, but this is the other
Rizzo,
thing I
Rizzo
find
does
huge.
It. Yeah, Rizzo does that on occasion.
Yeah, so does Joey Votto. Maybe you can explain this one to me. Obviously, he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. How did he get only 93.4% of the vote? Who didn't vote for Ted Williams?
That's staggering, isn't it? I mean, who would the 6.6 that voted against? They didn't vote him in as a first.
Right. Who left him off the ballot?
Yeah, it just
voted against him because he only won two MVPs. You know, was that the downside to him there? You know, I mean, you know, like, I love Mariano Rivera, but you can't tell me he deserved to be a unanimous selection when guys like Williams and Aaron and those guys weren't.
Yeah, some of the sports writers had grudges against some players, though.
Yeah, you know, and that's always kind of part of the problem, you know. You don't like a guy, you don't vote for the guy, you know. And, you know, I know some of the older players weren't the most likable guys.
Right. That's right. I wonder what Ty Cobb got in. What Ty Cobb's percentage was.
Oh, I can give me a second here, and I can probably pull that up for you.
He was one of the most unlikable ballplayers in history.
Yeah, he obviously first ballot Hall of Famer. He actually got 98.2% of the vote.
Oh, that's pretty.
You do wonder because, you know, obviously he didn't go in until 1936, I believe, is when they started playing, doing the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And, you know, he started playing in 28. So there may have been some of the guys who disliked him, you know, not voting at that time. And, you know, you're just looking at numbers and obviously, you know, you're putting Ty Cobb in just by looking at his numbers. I mean, you know, today they would hold the fact against him that he only hit 117 home runs in his career. You know, that would be a big downside to him, but, you know, we don't have to deal with that with these guys.
What kind of, as long as you have the stats in front of you, what percentage did Babe Ruth get?
So, all right, let me look the Babe up here and see where he came in. Okay, I was afraid I was going to have to type George in for a minute.
George
Herman. Yeah, that's what I was afraid I was going to have to go with there. Let me find the Babe down the page here. 95.1.
Well, he was less than Ty Cobb, but more than Ted Williams.
They both went in the same year, the very first year there was, you know, the Hall of Fame.
Well, how many players in MVP history have, or the Hall of Famer, have received 100%? 100 even.
Yeah, just Mariano Rivera.
That's it.
And that was this last year. Before that, I believe it was Tom Seaver who had the highest percentage when he got in. So, you know, but what I find humorous, looking at Ruth's card, you know, obviously the prototypical power hitter of, you know, his generation, and everybody looks at him as a big-time home run guy, he still walked about 730 more times than he struck out in his career.
Yeah. That's a big difference in the old school of baseball as compared to what it is now.
Yeah. So, yeah, where, you know, power hitters just don't walk. You know what I mean? Even looking, he never struck out 100 times in a season. He did have a 93 year once. But, yeah, never got to 100. And now, you know, guys get to 200 in a blink of an eye.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people forget that he was also a great pitcher.
Yeah. So, yeah, for a short period of time.
But he was good. He was a damn good pitcher.
Oh, yeah, he won 23 games 1 year and 24 one year. So, you know, he made 40 starts 1 year.
it's hard to take that bat out of the lineup, isn't it, though?
Yeah. So, well, I wonder, was he hitting? Were they hitting them? Yeah, no, he wasn't getting too many at-bats then, but maybe it was before they realized he could hit.
Yeah, he was an interesting ball player. Fun-loving guy.
It's just kind of weird, you know, when you look at the stuff and, yeah, it's kind of like, wow, this guy didn't, you know, this guy wasn't unanimous for the Hall of Fame, or, you know, this guy was, you know, these guys, you know, walked more than they struck out. And, you know, now it's just, yeah, whatever, you know, who cares?
Yeah. Well, can you imagine a one-pitch pitcher getting 100% of the votes? And that's really all he had was one pitch. But it was a heck of a pitch.
Yeah, just, you know, it, you know, worked, kind of worked out for him. You know, and I mean, obviously he's, you know, the best relief pitcher, you know, so far we've ever seen. But, yeah, it's just a little odd that of all the guys, he's the guy who got the 100%. I mean, I'm sure Jeter's going to get it when he comes up on the ballot here in the next year or two.
You think he'll get the full 100?
Yeah, because, you know, everybody loved Jeter, unless, you know, there's some, you know, unless there's a Red Sox writer or something who leaves him off the ballot because of the rivalry. But it's, you know, it was, you know, as a player, I don't think anybody disliked Derek Jeter.
Right. I still would be surprised to see him get a full 100%.
Yeah, he was, you know, until Rivera did it, he was kind of the guy I was expecting to end up doing it. You know, I thought for sure he would be the guy that, you know, rolled in at 100%.
There was always talk about a lot of these sports writers didn't like Ron Santo for some reason, and that's why it took so long before he was finally elected to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he had to get in it with the Veterans Committee. So
yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And that was part of, you know, part of Jim Rice's problem. You know, he hated sports writers. He never wanted to talk to them. And, you know, when it came time to the Hall of Fame, it took him, I think, almost till his last year to get in. You know, because these guys held it against them, had to wait for them to drop off as voters.
Yeah, when you think about it, that's really not the logical way to not vote a player in just because you disliked them for one reason or another. Certainly it should be his playing ability that should be precedent for the fact that he might not be a likable guy or some sports writers didn't like him. You should be a little bit more objective than that when you make your selection. Ability counts for something.
Yeah, you know, it always bothers me when it's like, well, you know, you didn't like him, so you didn't vote for him. That, you know, what kind of player was he? That's what I want to know.
That's it.
So.
That's exactly right.
You know, yeah, don't tell me with, you know, don't, you know, because I don't care who you like or who you don't like. If he's a good player, he's a good player. That, you know, that's all that really matters there.
That's the name of the game.
So, but, well, let's jump into some of the stuff that's going on today. As we know here, the White Sox had their home opener. They postponed it from yesterday. They got a 10-8 win over the Seattle Mariners, so they're, you know, rolling out there okay. The Dodgers are leading the Rockies 7-1 right now in the top of the seventh. We got the Padres beating the Cardinals 5-2 in the bottom of the seventh. The Rays are beating the Giants 5-0 it's headed into the bottom of the eighth there. And, that looks like everything we got that's going on live. Let me switch to the schedule here, and I can tell you what's happening tonight here when the games kick off, and some of them get started about a half hour. We got Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. It's Sonny Gray against Joe Musgrove. The Twins are at the Phillies. Jake Odorizzi against Nick Pivetta. The Red Sox at the Diamondbacks. Rick Porcello against Zach Godley. The Blue Jays at the Indians. Trent Thornton against Shane Bieber. The Marlins are at the Braves. If you're paying for the Mickey Mouse Plus app there, that's your game. We got Pablo Lopez against Kevin Gausman. The big series, of course, Stu is interested in. The Cubs are in Milwaukee. Jose Quintana against Brandon Woodruff. The A's are at the Astros. Frankie Montas against Colin McHugh. And then the late game tonight has the Rangers at the Angels. It's Lance Lynn against former Cub Felix Pena. So there you go.
A full slate of games. And if you were a betting man, which I know you're not, were a betting man, would you bet, how many games would you see the Cubs winning over the weekend, if any?
How many are they playing?
Three.
No, they're going to win all three, that, no doubt.
All three, I like that.
They're going to go in there and trounce the Brewers. But, yeah, real quick, if you're a fantasy player, and if you are, you have to be in a deep league to have either of these pitchers. But Ryan Burr picked up the win in the White Sox for the White Sox today. and Corey Guerin took the loss for the Mariners. If those guys are on either of your teams, you got a deep, deep league. But Alex Cola may got a save, and I'm sure somebody out there has him because just about every closer gets picked up in every league. So at least that paid off for you. Yeah, I guess the question while we're on Cubs Brewers real quick is, you know, say the Cubs go in and get swept, do they make the managerial change now after that?
I was thinking about that the other day and wondering if they would actually panic and make a move. If the Cubs come into their home opener 1-8, would Madden be gone? He'd probably let him finish out the contract, or maybe let him go another month or so, and then they might make a mid switch before the All-Star game if things keep going as badly as they have.
Yeah, you know, that was the big question on one of the shows that I was checking out today was, yeah, would he, you know, or maybe even if they lose 2 of 3, you know, because obviously they would just be, 2-7 then instead.
Correct.
You know, would be enough to cost them his job? You know, I mean, it's an interesting question. I mean, obviously, it's not his fault his bullpen sucks. He didn't put it together. He's just got to try to manage it. But, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you don't fire the players. It's the manager who goes. So.
Yeah, and it's strange to me how they've had so much problems with the bullpen in its entirety. I mean, Cechek was one of their best pitchers last year, and he comes in the end of the night and walks the bases loaded. So I can't. And Montgomery has been pretty decent in his Cub career, but he looks absolutely horrible so far. So what is going on?
Now, you know, bullpens are always like that. I mean, one year you can have the best bullpen in the league. You bring it back the next year, and it won't be the best bullpen again. And they made very, very few changes. I mean, obviously there was the addition of Brad Brock, you know, and then they pushed Tyler Chatwood into the bullpen. But other than that, they kind of stayed status quo, and that doesn't work for teams. You know, I mean, you can go back and look at stuff, and it doesn't work when you hang on to your bullpen like that. And I, you know, obviously, you know, we don't know the reasoning behind it, why they decided to go this route. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they need to save money because sooner or later you're going to have to pay the Baezes and the Bryants and the Contreras's, you know, or you're going to have to let them go, one of the two.
Right.
So what's the easiest way to save money? Well, we just won't pay the bullpen.
The current Cub pitching coach, wasn't that the guy they brought up from the organization?
Who is this guy? I'm trying to.
But I thought that they did not hire him from an outside source.
No. I have to look and see what his name is before I can comment on that because I do not remember.
Maybe he'll be more prevalent to be in the hot seat than Joe Maddon if this continues.
So, yeah, I, you know, they got rid of the other guy here. It's, I don't even know this guy. Tommy, it's HOTTOVY, so pronounce it however you want to go with it. I'm not even going to try it. So.
Well, they can always blame him.
Yeah, obviously, it's his first season as a coach at the professional level, but it doesn't look like they say where he came. Oh, he joined the Cubs in 2015. He's been an advanced scout in the run prevention department. And then he worked within the major league pitching infrastructure in the last 4 seasons, formulating game plans with the coaching staff and assisting pitchers in their preparation for their assisting pitchers in their game preparations on a daily basis. So there you go. So he's been at the major league level for 4 years. He just didn't really have a title.
Yeah, Well, so far he's not assisting the bullpen very well, is he?
No, he's as bad as the other guy. Remember, they had the greatest pitching coach in the world last year, and he did nothing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, listen, let's face it. The starters haven't been very good either, except for Lester.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's, yeah, you know, you just kind of, you know, and I, you know, I know luckily it's still early enough to where, you know, it's not kind of like, oh, okay, but it just, it doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't. It really does not look good at all. And
You know, looking here, obviously, Brad Brock and Brandon Kitzler have been good. They haven't given up a run this year. Quintana didn't either in his relief appearance. But, you know, you look at some of the other guys, and, I mean, you know, Rosario scuffled, and, you know, Chatwood is Chatwood. And, like you said, C-Sheck. I mean, C-Sheck, their main guys, C-Sheck, Strope, Montgomery, and Edwards, the lowest ERA out of the four is 16.2. Edwards is currently 45.
Yeah,
I'm going to guess
that'll
go
ERA,
down.
Isn't it?
Not super confident in it.
Has Strope pitched at all since he threw that wild pitch the other day in that 11-10 loss against Texas?
Yeah, didn't he come in the other day? I thought I remember seeing him
Perhaps in
one of the games in Atlanta. Let's see if I can double check it here. Sometimes they give me one. Actually, no, it looks like the last time he pitched was the 31st when he took the loss against Texas. So they haven't used him against Atlanta. Of course, that's only been, what, three games? So,
right, then maybe they're saving him for a save situation. Or maybe his arm is bothering him, or maybe his hamstring is still not 100%.
He had a groin or something right towards the end of spring.
Oh, that's right. It was a groin or something.
So, you know. Yeah, you know, I mean, at least Darvish looked a little better to start the game. You know, and then I thought for sure they were going to take a delay because the weather looked like it bothered him, you know, more than it did the Atlanta guy. And I just wonder if, you know, I guess the best way to look at it is I wonder if he's mentally tough, because it seems like things that you wouldn't think would get to him seem to bother him. You know, like, I don't think he could handle the fact that he was pitching against the Rangers for the first time and he didn't look good. And then, you know, last night he kept getting in trouble, but he kept getting out of it. But, yeah, once the rain was a little more prevalent, it really seemed like it affected him. And I just wonder if maybe it's a mental thing.
It could be. And he supposedly has been much more relaxed in spring training. Maybe he was, but it hasn't come over into the regular season so far.
Yeah, well, you know, you can be anything you want in spring training. You know, once the games start for real, that's what, you know, that's what matters.
That's the name of the game. Well, it looks like he'll get his next start at Wrigley Field, correct? He'll get his next start at Wrigley?
Sure, what the hell? You know, and obviously, you know, the offense has been pretty good. They've been scoring some runs. You know, it's just really been pitching that's been holding the team back.
Yeah, well, if you count the token runs they got in the ninth inning going in, losing 9-0, I don't know if that would factor
in
or not.
No, at least
it
counts.
Yeah, that's
you know, you always hope something like that. You know, you always hope something like that gets the team going, you know, in the right direction. You know, like even today, you know, they're not, you know, they don't have a dominant matchup. I mean, you know, Brandon Woodruff is okay, but I don't think he's going to get any Cy Young votes, just kind of like last night.
No,
I mean,
I don't know.
I know Matt Reed is a top prospect, but, you know, he's not going to run off with the Cy Young.
Well, tonight's game is important. Tonight's game is important. A five-game losing streak against their first game against their rivals, who are off to a terrific start. It's an important win for them tonight, if they are lucky enough to get it.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I want to see here if their lineup has been released, which I would like to think it has by now. Of course, it does have to go to Major League Baseball, but yeah, here's what they're going with tonight. Relatively typical. Zobrist in right, Bryan at third, Rizzo at first, Baez at short, Schwarber in left, Contreras catching, Descalzo at second, Hayward in center, and then, of course, Quintana in ninth as the pitcher. The Brewers have Kane in center, Yelich in right, Braun in left, Aguilar at first, Moustakas at third, Perez at second, Grandal is the catcher, Arcia is the shortstop in the 8-hole, and then Brandon Woodruff, of course, ninth because he's their pitcher. So,
well, I'm sure that the Brewers are favorites to win tonight's game.
Yeah, I don't know. I never really understand the baseball betting lines with the over, under,
right,
whatever it is thing. So, you know, I get lost there.
Well, here's the scenario.
So, you know,
next week that Darvish will get his neck started next week sometime at Wrigley. What happens if he gets knocked out in the second inning? What kind of reaction will he get from the fans when he leaves the field?
Well, you got to think by now, with the way this team has played, anybody who doesn't do anything is going to get booed, right? I mean, especially a pitcher. You know, I mean, they've just been so bad. You know, who's not going to get a negative reaction at this point?
Yeah. They have to win at least 2 out of 3 over the weekend. And I don't think the fans are going to be too happy if it doesn't occur for their home opener this Monday. And who did they play in the home opener, by the way?
I would be interested to see how many Cub fans are in Milwaukee. You know, normally there's a real big turnout when it comes to this. So, you know, that will be interesting. I did notice when the Cardinals were there last week, there were – you know, I know they complain about, you know, a lot of Cub fans showing up and getting tickets. There were a lot of Cardinal fans there. So, you know, I don't know what they're, you know, they complained about that. Here, Darvish is scheduled for Wednesday against the Pirates.
Oh, that'll be the first night game of the season.
So, yeah.
You note, by the way, that Tuesday they're off because of Monday being opening day, they save that second day in case there's inclement weather on Monday. So it'll be the first night game of the year.
Yeah, like, you know, even looking at the pitching matchups for this series, the Cubs really have the better starting pitcher going. It's just, will that guy produce or, you know, how it works out? Because, I mean, you know, Woodruff isn't going to go but 4 or 5 innings for the Brewers. You know, Burns had a really good outing for him last time, and he struck out a boatload of guys, but he only lasted 5 innings. And then Zach Davies is a solid pitcher, but he matches up with Kyle Hendricks, who in reality is the better pitcher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, pitching-wise, everything favors the Cubs, but, it, you know, they just to where they, you know, they've gotten the win.
No, that's very true. And truth be told, they're not the only contending team that has gotten off to a bad start. And look at the Red Sox.
Well, there's been a lot of them that have really, you know, really kind of scuffled out of the gate. And, you know, the only one I'll buy is the Yankees because they've put 11 guys on the DL since opening day. So I'll buy the fact that they're coming out of the gate a little slow. But, you know, like the Astros are 2-5. You know, the Reds, who everybody thought was improved, are 1-5 with the Cubs. You know, the Rockies are even under 500 at 3-4. It's early. I mean, we're not even 10 games in, so it's tough to kill these guys. But yeah, there's a lot of teams off to, you know, to rougher than what people thought starts. Like you mentioned, the Red Sox, they're 2-6.
Yeah, and that's only because they rallied in the ninth inning the other day to win a game. They were down, I believe, in the ninth, and they
beat Robin and the A's the other night. They came back on him. Otherwise you'd be looking at them being 1-7, and you know everybody having a fit there with that. So.
Yeah, as we always say, it's an awful long season in baseball.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, I understand that. You know, you get bummed out when your team doesn't come out of the gate like you think it should. But, yeah, it's just so hard to be, you know, like I said, where nobody's played more than, you know, the Mariners and the A's have 9 games, or the A's have 10 games. So, you know, we're looking at 150-plus games for teams still to play. You know, it's hard. Oh, yeah, okay, well, it's over. Well, no, we're this far in. I mean, the only teams that really over four were, you know, like the Marlins and the Orioles, who actually started playing really well to start the season, so maybe it's not over for them. You know.
Yeah, it's some strange stuff going on. And usually the funny thing is, at the beginning of the season, the games are usually very low scoring, but not this year. It's been a lot of high scoring games so far.
Yeah, no, this has been normally the pitchers are ahead of the hitters, but yeah, not this year. You know, hitting has been right there from the start, and you know, I mean, we have had some really good pitched games. You know, there have been a few that have popped up, but there's been a good share of offense as well. So I think it helped because I think most places have had pretty decent weather.
Better than expected in some cases, yes.
So, you know, that helped out. I mean, I know there were a couple in Cincinnati, but, you know, it hasn't, you know, it didn't snow.
There was one pitcher who threw a no-hitter last night.
Almost. It got broken up on him.
Well, he didn't pitch. He didn't pitch that inning.
No, he didn't. Yeah, you know, if it's baseball, they don't let you finish. Yeah, he didn't give up any hits, but, yeah, he didn't get the no-hitter.
No. Yeah, now that was a smart move, I thought on the manager, Francona's part, because you don't want to ruin the guy. Already had close to 120 pitches, and there was a long delay in the bottom of the seventh because Cleveland put up a lot of runs, and took a long time. So that had to be the smart move to make.
Yeah, I'm sure. I didn't look into it much. All I know is he was. You know, it was Trevor Bauer, and he was my preseason prediction for American League Cy Young, so I was pretty happy about that anyway.
That'll help you. Of course, there's a long way to go, as we talked before.
Right. I just kind of hope that, you know, this is the way things are going to go.
And I hope you have him in your fantasy league as well.
Yeah, no, sadly, I do not. So, you know, it would have been a nice touch, but I was unable to pick him up this time around. So, somebody's pretty happy they got him, but it just wasn't me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, man, good Lord, look at that.
What
is
the time?
Wow. Yeah, that's time already. I believe. All you gotta do is head over to TuneIn.com and podcast full time woman.